Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show. I'm your host, Ron Fitch. And today we're going to do something different. We're going to start off with the Major League Baseball playoff scene. And then we're going to get into college football. And then we're going to do a little pro football. This is the most exciting time of the year for me. Because you have St. Louis, the New York Mets, and the San Francisco Giants fighting for two positions. And then you have Cleveland, Boston, and the other side, American League, trying to fight for home field and in their division series. They have Texas, who seemed like they wrapped it up. They have Baltimore, Detroit, and Toronto trying to fight for one position. I think it's very exciting. I want to start off with the National League. I think to be a real championship team, you got to have a lockdown number one, a star number one, a number two who functions like a number one pitcher, and a number three who's really good, and a number four who's solid. And when you have that, then you got to have your middle relief intact, where you have your middle guy that can get your bridge to your closer. Then you have that left-handed pitcher who can get that big left-handed out, get the Bryce Harper out, get the Anthony Rizzo's out. Get the David Ortiz out, which won't be easy. Getting players like that out. You got to have the left-handed pitchers for that. Then you got to have a shutdown closer who is calm, who is great under pressure, who can get you out 25, 26, and 27 without any trouble. That's the key to having a championship game team. And also, you got clutch hitting, contact. You have a lot of contact hitters because it's a lot of times when teams get into the postseason, the pitchers are great strikeout pitchers. So you've got to have guys who are willing to foul balls off. Look at the Royals last year. They were relentless. They had contact hitters. Hitters that are willing to take walks and sacrifice themselves for the next batter who can come up and deliver the hit. And you've got to have a bopper in the lineup, that pitcher sphere. You've got to have the Anthony Rizzos, the Chris Bryants, the David Ortiz, the Cespedes for the Mets, the Belts for the Giants, the Corey Sagers for the Dodgers. You've got to have guys that can hit the ball out that you fear, that come up there in big situations and go on a tear. And you got to have that kind of wild card hitter, that swashbuckling kind of guy, sometimes a little overweight, guys like Kung Fu Panda with the Giants when they won championships. And then you have Mickey Hatcher years ago with the Dodgers. You got that wild card kind of guy, the feisty kind of guy that is in the lineup, that keeps the team calm and makes things happen, like Hunter Pence for the Giants, who will just, he's just a wild card. He'll just swing at anything, but he's always getting clutch hits. There's always guys like that. You need that in the postseason. That's kind of the formula I've seen that wins games. As far as the National League is concerned, I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm sitting here looking at San Francisco, New York Mets, and St. Louis, and you're going to play one of those teams. It looks like San Francisco may be the team, even if they sweep the Dodgers with a game, they're a game back, and St. Louis is kind of right at their ship. They're pretty hot right now with their starting pitching. That's really good. You know, Yadier Molina, as long as he's in the lineup, and as long as he's a catcher, they're always going to be really good. And then the Mets are definitely going to be in because they're a game ahead of both teams, and they're playing the Phillies. They just have to win and solve home field for that first game at Citi Field against either the Giants or the Cardinals. I think it's going to be the Cardinals. If you're the Mets, I think you'd rather play the Cardinals. Even though the Cardinals have had the Mets number. And the Mets have beaten the Giants before, but this Giant team, I watched the Giants yesterday. And they just look like that team that's ready to make a run. They don't care that they're on the road. They don't care where they play. They're just a mentally tough team because Bruce Bochy is a great coach. Borderline Hall of Famer right now with three rings. As a Cubs fan, I look at all three of these teams, and all three of them are very difficult, very mentally tough. You know, the Cardinals have a pedigree, and the Cardinals lost to the Cubs last year, so they will be – and the Cubs have beat up the Cardinals. That's a team I don't want to see because I'm worried about the laws of average. The San Francisco Giants, ugh, they got those three championship rings this decade. They got that belief. They got that swagger about them. Mm. The Mets are tough because they have owned the Cubs. They've given the Cubs all types of trouble. Citi Field is like a place where mentally it's tough to go and win if you're a Chicago Cubs, a place the Mets have won, let me see, six straight times against the Cubs in the postseason, the regular season. It's intimidating. It's a tough place. But I believe for the Cubs to break this curse, they need the Mets to win. And they need to exercise some demons and have the Mets walk in there. And they are going to have to walk into Citi Field and win to leave that. And I think that'll springboard the Chicago Cubs. And they're going to have Bryant and Rizzo. Bryant at times is a great home run hitter. But at times he can strike out. This is not the series to do that if you're going to run to, say, for instance, the Mets. And the young guys like Soler and Montero and all these good young talent, they're going to have to come together. Because a lot of these, if you think about it, they have 100-plus wins, but a lot of these players are only in their second year. And Theo Epstein's done a great job putting it together. Can Chapman walk into Citi Field and get a save? You may have to throw a ball 110 miles an hour to get out against Curtis Granderson and Cespedes. And I don't know if Jay Bruce wakes up. God forbid Jay Bruce wakes up. And then you got Duda back in the lineup, and they're just money players. And you got to get them out. You can't bank on winning at Wrigley Field. I mean, you could win, and you have a great home record, but if you lose, you're going to have to walk into Citi Field to get a win. It's a five-game series. So there's an immense amount of pressure on the Cubs. And if they get out of that first series, they're going to play the Dodgers and the Nationals. And the Dodgers, they're a little tougher. The Dodgers have been mentally weak when they wilted in the playoffs. They wilted against the Phillies. They wilted against the Cardinals. They made dumb errors and poor clutch play against the Mets and lost at home, lost two games at home against the Mets. But this is a different look with Dave Roberts as a coach and still a toughness in this team. Clayton Kershaw's due. He had a great postseason last year. He's had good postseason games. He just had bad games, a bad seventh inning against the Cardinals and one bad game against the Cardinals. And the rest of the time, he's been solid. So this nonsense about him not being good under pressure is ridiculous. And he's going to come in and pitch great. And Kenta Mejia, 16-10 for the Dodgers, who's good. You got Julio Urias at 5-2 at 3.39 ERA. He's really good. And then you got the big guy, Kenley Jansen, who's got 47 saves. So their back end is solid. And they got Alex Wood is a middle reliever. So they're really solid going up against the Nationals. And the Nationals have two things going on. Bryce Harper's back, and he's due to really hit in the postseason. And they got a scary proposition for the Dodgers, Daniel Murphy, who tore the cover off the ball against the Dodgers, couldn't get him out with the Cubs against the Cubs. Now the Royals shut him down, but he was a handful, and he's a handful this year. He kept going, 347 average, 25 home runs, 104 RBIs. He's MVP like. And I just think I like the way – the problem is Steven Strasburg, one of their best pitchers, is not going to be pitching this series. And they're going to need Matt Scherzer to be great and Tanner Roark, who's been solid this year, to be great. Roark is going to have to take the role of Strasburg. I like the Dodgers. I like the Dodgers in five in that series. Now we're going to go to the American League, where a really great matchup is Boston versus Cleveland. Boston's had Cleveland's number when playoff history, but it beat them. The one time Cleveland did beat them in 95 when Albert Bell went off. But other than that, they beat them in 99. They beat them in, I think, 2007 or 2006 when they won the World Series. They came back from 3-1 against Cleveland. This is a really, really good Cleveland team. Mike Napoli's got a lot of experience. Francisco
Lindor is batting 303, great shortstop. Jose Ramirez is batting 313. And then they're getting Andrew Miller. And see, remember I told you guys about how important a closer is. They got Andrew Miller from the Yankees, and he's their closer. Corey Kluber is a great starter. He got their top number one, and they have the pitching. And Andrew Miller's been 4-0 since coming from the Yankees with 3 Ks. But can Andrew Miller walk into Fenway and get out against that Red Sox team that I'm about to share some numbers with you? Dustin Pedroia is batting 322. Mookie Betts, who was an MVP candidate, is batting 319. David Ortiz, who was in his last year, who's legendary right now, batting 316 in his last year, 38 home runs, 127 RBIs. Haley Ramirez is dangerous, even though he doesn't have the best ERA on the average. He is a wild card. He's starting to hit, and he plays with his potential. That's scary. Can Andrew Miller get those guys out? Who've been a money team. They have 3 rings, too, along with the Giants. Rick Porcello, who's a New Jersey guy, has 22 wins, had his best year. David Price has started slow. Now he's got 17 wins for Boston. David Price is due. David Price, for as great as he's been, has never won a postseason game. Hard to believe. He's due to win a postseason game. Clint Buchholz is solid. Craig Kimball woke up. He was struggling. He got 31 saves. And you got Kuji Nohara, who was their closer when they won the championship. He's their middle reliever. I'm loving Boston. Boston's going to beat Cleveland at 5. The only way if Cleveland could have Boston lose these last two games against Toronto and they get home field, I'd give them a puncher's chance because game 5 will be in Cleveland. But if not, you're not walking into Boston. That's not happening. Now, finally, Texas will play either Toronto, Baltimore, or Detroit. I am hoping, for all hope, that Toronto can figure out a way to beat Boston, get in, beat Baltimore, beat Detroit, and then play Texas. Baltimore and Texas despise each other. That is my dream matchup of all the playoffs, because if you remember, Bautista hit a home run, rubs it in, throws his bat 100 feet in the air, and that was the end. It was a grand slam to put the game away, and he won in it, game 6. And he went on, and Texas was stewing all with him. And they threw at him when they played in the regular season, and there's a hatred there. And Bautista would be back. Texas would have home field this time. Texas would want nothing better than to beat Toronto. Because I heard it on the Major League Network. Who would you rather not play? They said Toronto. If you're a competitor and you're Texas, you want Toronto over Detroit and over Baltimore. Baltimore, I love the coach, but it wouldn't be an exciting series. Detroit would be kind of a dangerous series with Cabrera and Martinez and all those things. Kinsler, we used to play for them. That'd be a little dangerous series. But I want to see Texas and Toronto. Now we're going to go into college football, and you have so many good matchups, but I'm going to focus on 3 marquee matchups. Tennessee at Georgia. Tennessee just came off a big win against Florida. They're going to Georgia. They have to keep their emotions high, because if they lose, you give Florida and Georgia a chance to win the SEC East. They have the fast track to get to Atlanta for the SEC East. Coming out of the SEC representing the East. But going up against Georgia is going to be a little difficult just because of the fact that Nick Easton's not going to play as bad as he did last week when he was pressured. Joshua Dobbs has been terrific. He was really great against Florida with 4 touchdowns. The key, you got 2 great running backs in Hurd versus Nick Chubb. And both guys have been kind of faded in the background because of the passing. But Hurd's going to have to run good to keep the balance for Tennessee. And then Chubb is going to have to take pressure off the freshman in Easton. And then another matchup is great is Josh Malone who's a wide receiver, and Isaiah McKenzie is a wide receiver of Georgia, and both of those players need to get off to help their quarterbacks.
Man, I tell you. My heart says Tennessee. My head says Georgia because it's home, and they were embarrassed by Mississippi, by Ole Miss last week. Now the matchup I'm interested in is Wisconsin, who defeated LSU, blew out Michigan State, and now they're walking into Ann Arbor going against a Michigan team who've been really good, but they've been untested, and Michigan's looking forward to this matchup. I'm going to say Wilton State's got to have a good game. He's had 875 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
I could tell that's Jim Harbaugh's influence on him as a great quarterback coach and as a great coach. Because remember what he did to Kaepernick, and remember how Kaepernick's not as good when Harbaugh left. And look at this now. State, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. And then you're going to need Devon Smith to play good in the run to give them that balance. But they have great tight end play. Their wide receivers are great. I think Peppers is the key to wild card with his returns, with how great he plays on defense. He is the wild card. He's one of the best players in college football. Now, Bart Houston's been solid but not spectacular, but he's smart. Wisconsin's a solid, smart offensive team. They want to run down your throat with Corey Clement, and they want to take up a lot of time. They want to play at their pace. You know, Jazz TV makes some great receptions. I just think Michigan will find a way to beat them and stay undefeated. And the dream, and I think this magic carpet ride that Wisconsin's been on will be over. I think Oklahoma TCU is a good game. Thrill Hill will take care of Oklahoma at home. I think TCU wins that game. The game of the year so far is Louisville at Clemson, two of the best quarterbacks in the country. This is the game I so look forward to. And you have the matchup of Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. It's funny. As great as the imbalance of Deshaun Watson is, he kind of took a back seat to Lamar Jackson, who's been as great. Lamar Jackson's got is 74 for 126, 1,330 yards early in his season, 13 TDs and 3 interceptions. That's scary good. And Deshaun Watson is 996, 9 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which is really good too. Wayne Gallman's going to help. I think the running and the powering of Wayne Gallman, Clemson being home, that's a big factor. But Lamar Jackson's a wild card. I'm going to tell you something. Auburn turned down Lamar Jackson. He wanted to go to Auburn. Auburn got picked the quarterback. And none of the quarterbacks Auburn got are any good. So you go recruit a quarterback who stinks. Then you have Lamar Jackson, who you could use right now. He would be a national championship team with that defense if you had Lamar Jackson to Auburn. But no, they made that dumb decision. I wonder if it'll cost Auburn's coaching staff their jobs. That'll be remaining to be seen. But the problem I got with Louisville is their key rusher is Lamar Jackson. And Clemson's got thick physical defense, which is fast. And then that may be enough to hold off Louisville in a high-scoring game. Deshaun Watson figures out a way to throw the ball to Mike Williams in the end zone. I think they squeak by Louisville. It would not surprise me if Louisville won. I'm a pick Clemson. If Louisville wins, Louisville-Houston becomes scary good at the end of the year. And it's still a great matchup at Louisville. And it's funny because college football, the SEC is the best conference. Let's not get it twisted. Because from top to bottom, they're better than the Big Ten. The Big Ten has 4 good teams: Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Ohio State. The drop-off is ridiculously bad. Penn State's not any good. Rutgers stinks, and that's not college. Minnesota and Iowa is average. But
the SEC. Now, the ACC is close because Louisville, Clemson, Florida State, Pittsburgh's pretty decent. Miami's coming up. We're going to see them against Georgia Tech, who's pretty good. So they're solid, but I want to see a little more of the ACC before I would put them over the SEC. The SEC is really good. And the Pac-12, I'm going to tell you something. I do want to mention this. Washington destroyed Stanford yesterday. I was very impressed. That was a great win by Washington, 40-7 over Stanford. Washington, from the start, they were driving down the field. Stanford was missing two quarterbacks. And Browning took advantage of it, and he was on fire. Their receivers, the running game, the defense got after the quarterback. They took Stanford off schedule. Stanford's the type of team that runs McCaffrey. They power run. They have to keep the game close. They shut all that down. And Washington's a player in this. They can get to the playoffs. If you're the Pac-12 and you want a representative out of the Pac-12, your only hope is Washington. Washington's got some tough games coming up. So against Washington State, that's going to be a fun game. So that was a good showing by Washington. It makes me really want to take a look at them when it comes to Pac-10 football, Pac-12 now, of course. Now the NFL, and I'm looking at some marquee matchups. One of the bigger matchups, I believe, is Atlanta and Carolina. And Atlanta's much better. They're 2-1. Carolina's at 1-2. This is a bad spot for Carolina. Normally I say, you know, Carolina will win, you know, Cam Newton, and they're playing well, and, you know, but the Falcons are a lot better because Devontae Freeman is running really well. And it gives them a physicality. You know, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu's giving them balance, and Jacob Tanney coming over from the Colts, giving them more weapons. Mighty Ice is relaxed now. Dan Quinn has done a good job coaching. Their defense isn't great, but it's opportunistic. They make plays. They turn the ball over. You can move on them. I can see the Carolina Panthers moving on them. And Forrest Whitaker, Fozzie Whitaker is going to have to play a lot better as far as a running back. You know, you got Cam and Greg Olsen. I think the Carolina's got to get real serious this year. They're going to have to. They need this win. I like Atlanta. I'm freaking upset. I'm going against my logic. My logic tells me Carolina's a better team, and they're desperate. They're going to go to Atlanta and win. I'm going to take a chance and pick the Atlanta Falcons at this game at home. And then Carolina's going to have to regroup at 1-3, and that won't mean the season's over. It just means they're going to have to really play good the rest of the way. But and Carolina will be a player. I just think they may lose this game. There's not a lot of great matchups. Oakland-Baltimore is a good matchup because Baltimore's undefeated. Oakland's 2-1. Oakland could really, really raise a lot of eyebrows if they walk into Baltimore and beat Flacco and the Ravens. I don't think that's going to happen. And, I mean, the Ravens would be undefeated. I know New England's going to beat Buffalo. There's no reason to even talk about that game. That's borderline scrimmage. But the Jets. The Jets will beat the Seahawks. Fitzpatrick will not throw a gazillion interceptions this game. Marshall and Richard Sherman's a great matchup. But Decker's not available. That's tough. You go to Matt Forte, you go to your running game, you use your running game as an outlet for passes. You use Matt Forte in the backfield, and you cross up their defense, and that's the way. And the Jet defense is going to have to get after. They're going to have to stop the running game and get after Russell Wilson. Don't give them time, and they're home. I just like the Jets in this game. I'm taking another chance and picking Jets because of the fact that Seattle's coming cross country to New Jersey, to the Meadowlands, to lose, and that's my prediction. I believe Pittsburgh will beat the – no, wait, before I get back to Pittsburgh, I like Tampa to upset Denver. I think Jameis Winston is due. Martin hasn't run the ball well. In Tampa, That's my upset special of the week. Do not pick that. Do not go to Vegas and pick that. If you're smart, you go with Denver, the way they're playing, and C.J. Anderson and Simeon settling in as a quarterback. Their offense is better this year than it were last year, but I think Tampa is going to play almost over their heads to pull out this upset and shock the Denver Broncos. I like the Steelers over the Chiefs only because they're home. If this game is in Kansas City, I would guarantee a Chiefs win. The Steelers are a lot better at home. They're a lot tougher at home. They play a lot faster at home. The offense clicks. The offensive line plays a lot tougher at home. They play with a lot more courage at home. Bell will be back. That's a huge addition. They'll be able to run the ball a little bit. Kansas City's defense is good. Unless they implode where they're just throwing interceptions and fumble ball and acting real stupid with penalties, Pittsburgh will win. Now, on the road, the only way Pittsburgh is going to be in New England and Denver's class, if they go on the road and play a team that fights back and they don't play cowardly football. You're going to have to win road games. They're going to win their number of home games. They play a lot better at home, and they're not as tough on the road. And until I see any improvement, I got to go by what I see. And when I do my show, I go by what I see. And I love my Steelers. I love Swan. I love all those guys. I love them. I have the pom-poms on Sunday, cheer for them. But when I do this show, I tell the real truth and nothing but the truth. And that's who they are until I see something different. They're not Denver or New England yet. Maybe they can be down the line because And when it comes to the NFL, you always want to get better in November and December. And let's see if they do. I haven't seen nothing that showed me that. I didn't like even the wins. I wasn't impressed. So let's see what happens Sunday. Now, next week, I'm going to talk a lot about the Major League Baseball playoffs and a lot of what I said. We'll see if it takes shape or not.